जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज
Yeah.
Paramahamsa Prabhujacharya Stotra Shata. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Swami Founder of Acharya, B.B.D. Founder of Acharya, Savior of the whole universe, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Dutai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritam.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Madhiraje. Dasta Prayesha Vadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Karoti Vachalam Pangalungai Tendrim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Kurunan Karanam Paramananda Madhava Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Chapter titled The Pandavas Retire Family. And we're reading from text number 31. Vishoko,
Vishoko
Brahma,
Brahma
Sampatya,
Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchina,
Sanchina
Dvaita,
Dvaita
Samshaya,
Samshaya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Lina,
Lina
Prakriti,
Prakriti
Nairgunya,
Nairgunya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Alingvat
Alingvat
Asambhavaha
Asambhavaha
Alingvat Asambhavaha
Alingvat Asambhavaha
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Alingat Asambhava
Alingat Asambhava
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Lina Prakriti Naigunya
Lina Prakriti Naigunya
Alingat Asambhava
Alingat Asambhava
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya
Lina Prakriti Nargunya
Lina Prakriti Nargunya
Alingavat Asambhava
Alingavat Asambhava Vishoko
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Alingatvada Sambhava
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchinna Dvaita Samshaya
Sanchinna Dvaita Samshaya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Alingatvada Sambhava
Alingatvada Sambhava
Vishoko Brahma Sampatya
Sanchinna Dvaita Samshaya Sanchinna
Dvaita Samshaya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Lina Prakriti Nairgunya
Alingatvada Sambhava
Alingatvada Sambhava
Word to word translation.
Vishokah.
Free from bereavement.
Brahma Sampatya.
By possession of spiritual assets.
Sanchinna.
Being completely cut off.
Dvaita Samshaya.
From the doubts of relativity.
Lina.
Merged in.
Prakriti.
Material nature.
Naigunya.
Due to being in transcendence.
Alingvat.
Because of being devoid of material body.
Asambhava.
Free from birth and death. Translation. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubt of duality were completely cut off. Thus he was freed from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There are no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. Please repeat after me. Because of his possessing spiritual assets,
the doubts of duality
were completely cut off.
Thus he was freed from
the three modes of material nature,
and placed in transcendence.
There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in the birth and death.
For he was freed from material form.
Doubts of duality begin from the misconceptions of material body, which is accepted as the self by less intelligent persons. The most foolish part of our ignorance is our identity, identifying this material body with the self. Everything in relation with the body is ignorantly accepted as our own. Doubts due to misconceptions of myself and mine, in other words, my body, my relatives, my property, my wife, my children, my wealth, my country, my community, and hundreds and thousands of similar illusory contemplations cause bewilderment for the conditioned soul. By assimilating the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one is sure to be released from such bewilderment, because real knowledge is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, is everything, including one's self. Everything is manifestation of his potency as a part and parcel. The potency and the potent are non-different. So the conception of duality at once mitigated by the attainment of perfect knowledge. As soon as Arjuna took up to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, expert as he was, he could at once eradicate the material conceptions of Lord Krishna, his eternal friend. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instructions, by his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related to him. He could realize that Lord Krishna, his friend, was still present before him by his transcendental presence in different non-dual energies, and there was no question of attainment of the association of the Lord by another change of body under the influence of time and space. By attainment of absolute knowledge, one can be in association with the Lord constantly, even in the present life, simply by hearing, chanting, thinking of and worshipping of the Supreme Lord. One can see Him, one can feel His presence even in this present life, simply by understanding the Advaita Lord or the Absolute Lord. Through the process of devotional service, which begins with hearing about Him, Lord Chaitanya says that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can at once wash off the dust on the mirror of pure consciousness. And as soon as the dust is removed, one is at once freed from all material conditions. To become free from material conditions means to liberate the soul. As soon as one is there, therefore situated in the absolute knowledge, his material conceptions of life is removed, or he emerges from the false conception of life. Thus the function of a pure soul is revived in spiritual realization. This practical realization of living being is made possible due to his becoming free from the reactions of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion and ignorance. By the grace of the Lord, a pure devotee at once rises to the place of the Absolute, and there is no chance of the devotee becoming materially entangled again in the conditioned life. One is not able to feel the presence of the Lord in all circumstances until one is endowed with the required transcendental vision made possible by devotional service prescribed in the revealed scriptures. Arjuna had attained this stage long before on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and when he apparently felt the absence of Lord, he at once took shelter of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, and thus again he was placed in his original position. This is the position of Vishoka, or the stage of being freed from all grief and anxiety. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta third quote to Canto 1, Chapter 15, chapter titled Pandavas Retired Timely, text number 31. Amagyana Kimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Itantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue our discussion on the Pandavas Retired Timely. The chapter is self-explanatory. It says the Pandavas wanted to retire timely, and this was only possible with the instructions and the guidance of Lord Krishna. In the past we have seen Dhritarashtra, just a little recap. So Dhritarashtra was living with his children, the Pandavas, though they were not the direct children but the sons of Pandu. And his brother Vidura comes there and realizes that it is time for him to retire. Though he has lost everything, he has lost his children, everything is done, and his age is also at an advanced stage, and he shouldn't be continuing in the material life. Though the Pandavas were taking care of him very well, him and Mother Gandhari very well, but then Vidura felt that at certain stage of life one needs to retire and take vanaprastha ashram and progress further in his spiritual life. Likewise, he gives instructions to Dhritarashtra saying that no more you are supposed to be in the family life in the grahastha ashram. You have to retire and then move on, go to the forest, focus yourself on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perfect your life, because human form of life is very, very rare. Having got this human form of life, don't waste your time. And then Dhritarashtra and Gandhari leave. Gandhari being a very chaste wife, she leaves along with Dhritarashtra, despite knowing that the forest is not a very comfortable place to be living in. And as they progress further, we see that he leaves without telling anybody. He leaves without telling the Pandavas, saying that he's leaving and he's retiring. But then in the morning, when the Pandavas do not find him, they really get worried, saying that did we not take care of our father so well? And then they get the instructions from Narad Muni, saying that that's the right way of life. Please allow them to continue. Narad Muni, the great devotee of the Lord, comes at the right time, at the right place, and gives the right instructions. So he gives the instructions to the Pandavas, and Pandavas also realize that
at a later date of their life, they also need to retire. And here as we progress in this chapter, the scene Arjuna was grief-stricken because he had lost his friend, because Krishna had decided to go back to his spiritual world. And Arjuna feels lonely because any time that Arjuna needed any instructions, he'd go back to Krishna. And Krishna has always been a dear friend, despite being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna will always instruct Arjuna in whatever way that he would require his help. Apart from being there, his presence itself made all the difference. We see on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna gave necessary instructions to Arjuna. Arjuna was deciding, saying that, you know, I would retire, go to the forest, you know, eat some fruits which are growing and I can still manage. Why do I have to kill my cousins? Why do I have to kill my uncles? Why do I have to kill my gurus and all my elders? But Krishna gives him the right instruction at that point of time, and then Krishna tells him that he needs to fight. At the end, after Krishna's instruction, Arjuna decides, whatever you tell me, I will do. Do you remember that shloka? He says, whatever you say. Yes. Karishye vachanam. So, I will do whatever you tell me. I am not going to wait now, because I take you as my guru and my friend. More than a friend, a guru. So, he tells him that whatever you tell me, whatever instructions that you give me as Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will blindly follow it and I will not deviate from that. And he progresses, he goes into the battlefield, and you know, the war of Kurukshetra is over. And soon after that, the Rajasuya Yajna happens, Yudhishthira Maharaj is crowned, and you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam progresses in that way. And here, we see when Arjuna comes back from Dwarika and sees that Krishna has departed to his spiritual world, leaving behind everything. He is unable to speak to his brothers, he is unable to open out, he seems to have lost all his power because Krishna is not available here. Now if we go back to this particular shloka, it says very clearly, by possessing his spiritual assets, so Krishna had given him the spiritual assets which Arjuna acquired, the doubt of duality were completely cut off. For Arjuna, the doubts of duality was completely cut off. He was very equipoised. Thus he was freed from the three modes of material nature. You know, he had raised above the modes of passion, goodness and ignorance, and placed in the transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, and he was freed from the material form. So, Arjuna, though he is there in the material world, but he is actually not. He is not in the material conception, because he is transcended that material part of his life. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture on the same verse in the US, where he makes it very clear, saying that, says we are actually in this temporary body, we are here for 10 years, 15 years, depending, you know, on our previous karmas, 10, 50, 60, maybe 100, and then we are kicked out from this body. We have to understand that we are the soul, we are not this body, and we are kicked out and say, get out from this body, and we have to take another body if we have done certain karmas which require us to come back. Otherwise we go back home, back to Godhead. The basic premise in this purport that we read is one needs to realize the very, very basic instructions, that one needs to understand that he is a spirit soul and the body is non-permanent. He has taken this body just to be here for some time, perform his activities and perfect his life and go back home, back to Godhead. So, it says it is the biggest ignorance on our part to be identifying ourselves with this body. And this is done by less intelligent people. We see so many people who seem to be calling themselves very qualified, very educated and very prominent in the society. But when it comes to themselves, they talk about me, myself, my relatives, my property, my country, my possession, and it comes again back to the body. So they have not realized the basic premise of life, the very basics which are given in our Shastra, saying that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. You have to come here, complete your activities for whatever number of years that you have granted here, and then go back. In one of the lectures, His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj was very clearly mentioning, saying that not even one breath can be extra. Whatever has been noted for you as per your karmas, if you think that you know you can extend your life by practicing pranayama and yoga and all such things, no, it is impossible. Whatever has been given, not even a single breath that you can take extra. And that's the end of life. That's the end of, when we say life, the material life. For devotees, there's very clear understanding, saying the differentiation between the material life and spiritual life is very well understood by us. Right from day one that we take up the Krishna consciousness, our parampara, our acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada have very clearly taught us. Srila Prabhupada hammers this point. You know, in all the purports that he writes, you will see the maximum connotation or maximum mention of this, saying that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. He indirectly or directly, he hammers this point. When something is made over and over again, over and over again, then we should realize that it is the most important part of it. So Srila Prabhupada repeatedly makes this point in the purports, in the lectures, in his commentaries, wherever Srila Prabhupada is given, saying that you are not this body, you are the spirit soul, you are the spirit soul, you are the spirit soul. And one needs to realize that I am the spirit soul and I am not supposed to be here. I have to finish my business for which I have come here and go back home, back to Godhead. And it is said that, you know, this is because of our ignorance. The whole idea of people calling themselves as the body is because of their ignorance of identifying themselves, saying that I am not the spirit soul, I am the body. And over a period of time, it has deteriorated so badly that today they don't think anything beyond the body. There are times that, you know, we don't realize the facts. In one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada says that they put up a board saying that there is a human being who can imitate the voice of animals. And people pay $10, $15 to go and attend this show. But then we don't care actually for the animals which are on the road, which are barking. So when you go inside and see the show, this person barks like a dog, yeah, meows like a cat, and various other animals. But when we see them outside, when you see this animals outside, we are least bothered, but we are paying that money. So that's the kind of ignorance, saying that you want to see a barking of the dog, you can see it in your neighborhood. They're available everywhere. You really want to see a cat making the noise, you can see it there. But the ignorance has actually overtaken us. The ignorance part of it can be removed with a very simple example. Srila Prabhupada says that the dust accumulated on the mirror can be wiped off with the knowledge. So we have to take this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and the various other scriptures which have been given to us to make ourselves out of, or to get ourselves out of this ignorance which we are captured with for so many lifetimes. Not necessarily that we are in ignorance from yesterday or from this lifetime or with 30, 40, 50, 60 years that we've lived in this material life. We don't know, in the past also, we've been in that ignorance. And the best way of getting out of this ignorance is to practice Krishna consciousness. In one of the lectures, His Grace Sankarshan Das Prabhu, Sankarshan Das Adhikari, who's Sri Prabhupada's disciple, made it very clear as to how this can happen. It's a very simple process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the chanting of the holy name. And as we progress, you start chanting. Initially, what happens, people don't even get worried about you. But then, how do you really get them out to Krishna consciousness? It's by giving them prasad, inviting them to our kirtans. They may not take up to chanting so easily. I'm sure some of us have also not taken up to chanting so easily. Initially we would start, somebody would cajole us, somebody would give us some prasadam, or you know, get us into the kirtan. And you know, some of us who were into the philosophy wanted to get into the philosophy, but we wouldn't chant. I see so many, at least I have seen so many devotees who are more interested in reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the initial days, because they really are into philosophical discussions, but they don't chant. But it is very important that we engage them. And when we start engaging them on discussions, when we start engaging them by giving some prasadam, when we start engaging them by inviting into some of our programs, then slowly we have to start inviting them to chant. And once they start chanting, then slowly, and that also in the initial stage when they start chanting, for neophytes it is just a mantra. For them it is any other mantra. So they repeatedly or mechanically just chant the mantra. And over a period of time, they become advanced devotees. And for advanced devotees, it is on the same consciousness. The consciousness gets elevated. And when the consciousness is elevated, he is associating with the Lord directly. When one chants the Shuddha Nama, or when one chants in the advanced stage of life, unlike a neophyte. A neophyte, as you said, you know, you have so many mantras and you can get all these mantras and people keep chanting. At least we are better off in Bangalore, but when you travel to cities like Mumbai where you have people traveling by local trains, they will carry something or the other and they keep reading, you know, chanting some mantras while in the train. Or Bhajan Kirtan also. Bhajan Kirtan is at least better. But then they chant some mantras which nobody knows the meaning. And they are actually in the neophyte stage, completely neophyte stage. But then over a period of time, when one gets the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then he gets into that stage where he starts awakening his consciousness, awakening his inner consciousness. And once the inner consciousness is awakened, he starts growing further in the spiritual life. And he sees the form of Krishna, he actually hears the pastimes of Krishna, he starts associating with him in the pastime. This is all the qualities of an advanced devotee. And as he progresses further, he gets the Namarasa. He enjoys the nectar of chanting the holy name. That is Namarasa. And as the Namarasa comes, all the misconceptions of life are completely removed. And when the misconceptions of life are removed, he becomes free from kama. If he becomes free from krodha, anger, he becomes free from lobha, he becomes free from mada, he becomes free from moha, you know, desire to acquire. And then finally, he becomes free from envy, which is the highest stage. So slowly, you know, progression happens. As you start going into the school, start with LKG, UKG, and you know, in the material world. Then we say first standard, 10th standard, 10th PhD. So slowly, as one starts chanting, as one starts associating with the holy name of the Lord, he gets over the kama, krodha, loha, mada, matsarya, and he becomes situated in the platform where he can completely devote himself, his mind, into the service of the Lord. And then once he becomes non-envious, once the envy is gone, he becomes a well-wisher of the whole society. He wishes well for everybody. He wishes for every small animal, human being, ants, whatever he sees around. He becomes a well-wisher of all of them. And then he becomes the ocean of mercy. The symptoms of giving up all these things and start giving the holy name of the Lord, start getting worried about others, or start thinking about the others in the material world, he becomes the ocean of mercy. And this is the symptom of somebody who advances in the Krishna consciousness. And then he reaches the stage of Brahma Bhuta. So I'll just refer to 18.54, I suppose. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochati Na Kanshati. So very nice. It is 18.54. It says, I'm reading the translation. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that stage, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Krishna confirms this, saying that once he reaches this Brahma-bhuta stage, he attains Krishna without a doubt. And these are words of Krishna, which never go wrong. Which can never go wrong. The simple formula is here, you know, one needs to deeply dive into the nectar of the holy name and serve. The third offense of chanting the holy name of the Lord is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Okay? The spiritual master orders you to chant the holy name. That's the instruction, 16 rounds a day. Srila Prabhupada gave us this instruction of chanting 16 rounds a day. So once we complete our 16 rounds, that doesn't mean, okay, Hare Krishna, hang my mala and then I'm done for the day. One needs to engage himself 24/7. Srila Prabhupada was very categoric about this. We all know the story when Srila Prabhupada said 64 rounds, 32 rounds, and then, you know, he came up to the level of 16 rounds and he said, no, nothing below 16 rounds. So Prabhupada did not mean that, you know, once 16 rounds are done, which generally takes about 2-2.5 hours, you're done for the day and you can do anything that you desire to do in the material world. No. One needs to engage himself 24/7, 24 hours a day. After the rounds are over, we get into the service of the Lord. We do some reading, we do some deity worship. We also go out and preach. And there are devotees who go out and actually do a lot of preaching. And they are very dear. They are very dear. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples and grand disciples to make as many devotees as possible. So, that is the third offense. So if we are not doing the preaching, if we are not engaging ourselves in the spiritual life, then actually it is that we are committing the third offense of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. Yeah. So, okay. So when we say it is, we have to engage ourselves, it is not only just limited to 16 rounds of chanting and then leaving it aside. We have to continue our service to the Lord. After 16 rounds are prescribed by Srila Prabhupada, who is an Acharya. So we have to continue with that. There is no shortcut to that. And after completing our 16 rounds, we have to engage ourselves in the devotional service. Even in our work, even in whatever seva that we have, we have to always constantly think about chanting the holy name of the Lord. And, yeah. So one needs to go beyond. We are looking at just chanting, then leaving everything beside. So it is not that. One needs to engage himself in reading the Shastras. One needs to engage himself in deity worship. One needs to also reach out to people. And it was the desire of our Acharyas, desire of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, saying that we go out and make as many devotees as possible. And that's the instructions. So the third instruction says, disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So if you really look at it, the orders of spiritual master, that is Srila Prabhupada and all the other Acharyas, is very clear that we have to also make more devotees. So if we are not doing it, if we are keeping it to ourselves, if we are in the cocoon, you know, if we are withdrawing from the material world saying that, no, I am all by myself, then we will never grow. And then we are disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. The story, or not story, it is the actual life happening of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was very happy in Radha Damodar Mandir. He did not go anywhere else, you know. He was already a Paramahansa. And if he had stayed in Radha Damodar, I am sure and very certain that he would have gone back home, back to Godhead. But then why did he take the trouble? So that's the quality of a Vaishnava, that's the quality of a devotee, that I need to go out, I need to preach, I need to give this something very important which I have got. And this is very important, is the spiritual life, the spiritual benefit or the spiritual advancement that we have got, we share it with others. So Srila Prabhupada went, took all the trouble and made so many devotees. So many of us are devotees because of Srila Prabhupada and his Anugas. So a devotee should follow this. You know, he should not, I would say, the third offense he should not commit. And the spiritual master says that you should go out and preach the holy name of the Lord. So whatever capacity, there may be times that you are not able to speak from the Shastras, you are not able to give quotes from the Shastras upfront, but you can nicely talk to people, and you know, with our own good behavior of people, people will become devotees. So that is very important, and we have to always remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And when we say remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it means chanting, hearing, eating, speaking and serving. Yeah. So this compromise, this comprises the whole activities of the devotees. When we say we have to remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it means that we have to be chanting, we have to be hearing, we have to be eating, we have to be speaking, and we have to be serving. It can be any menial service. It can be some service in the kitchen, some service on the counter, some service elsewhere of, you know, Govindas, or either way. So, also here it is said that devotees are liked by everybody. That is the way that devotees have to become. If we go back to Shat Goswami Astakam, if you remember, Dhira Dhira Jana Priyo. Okay, so Dhira Dhira Jana Priyo. Yeah, as it goes. I don't remember the whole thing, but then it is very clearly said that Shab Goswamis were liked by all the devotees of Vrindavan. They were also liked by the ruffians, the bad people of Vrindavans. They were liked by everybody. So that's the way that we have to become. As we become devotees, as we practice Krishna consciousness, if we become liked by others, it could be even the others, the ruffians, but then they will also take up to Krishna consciousness. What happened to the example that we see of Jagai and Madai? You know, had Nityananda Prabhu not stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from killing, what would have happened? People would not have taken up to Krishna consciousness. Jagai and Madai became great devotees of the Lord just because of compassion of Nityananda Prabhu. He said, no, you have not come in this form to kill people. Please call back your Sudarshan Chakra. So that's the way. With our own behavior, we need to become Krishna conscious. And with our own behavior, when we become Krishna conscious, when we show our behavior, or when people notice our behavior, they also become devotees and take up to Krishna consciousness. So the basics out here in this shloka is very clear. We talk about the ignorance, and ignorance is by accepting that we are this body and saying that this belongs to me, that belongs to me, this is mine, that is mine, and we need to really get out of this. And here Arjuna's example is given, saying that just because Krishna was not there to guide him at that point of time, that then he could recollect Bhagavad Gita, the instructions of Krishna, and then he could become transcendental. It's likewise, Śrīla Prabhupāda also said, even if I am not there tomorrow, my books will guide you. So it is the books of Śrīla Prabhupāda which is actually guiding us today in our endeavor to take up to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So this shloka is more talking about how one needs to realize the basics. If the basics are fine, if we realize that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, and go on building on top of it our spiritual journey, then one can progress well in Krishna consciousness and attain these desired success, which is Krishna Prema. So I'll stop here. If there are any comments, I'll be happy to take them. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Nice focus on fundamentals. In the Prabhupada once commented, someone said, Prabhupada, everybody likes you. You know,
please go ahead, please go ahead. It's a very nice statement.
Prabhupada said, because I like everyone. Everyone likes me.
True.
He was never like discriminated person.
Srila Prabhupada never discriminated between his rich disciples, materially rich disciples, or poor disciples, or any countries for that matter. So he's a dhira. He knows equipoised. Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for adding that.
He scolded someone. Whenever he scolds someone, but immediately later, then he treats very nicely that devotee. And he also mentioned that I decided for your benefit now. I don't have any ill feeling towards you. He always used to tell
lectures. True. I remember having heard this from one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. I don't remember who it was. He said he had nothing personal against anybody. He was always worried about their spiritual progress, and that is the reason that he chastised some devotees or corrected some devotees or got annoyed at certain devotees. Srila Prabhupada was always caring for their spiritual well-being, and that's the reason that he would either correct, chastise or reprimand a devotee. But he was never personal. He would never get into personal cases. So very nice addition to me. Thank you. हाँ प्रोजी बताइए
कृष्ण जब चले जाते हैं
जो अर्जुन और बाद उनको एकदम इंटीमेट होता है आपका सवाल यह है कि जब कृष्णा इस भौतिक जगत से गए थे तो उन्होंने अर्जुन को जो उनके बहुत ही घनिष्ठ दोस्त है मित्र है या फिर पांडव जो उनके बहुत अच्छे भक्त है उनको क्यों नहीं बताया क्यों ऐसे ही छोड़ के चले गए देखिए इसमें काफी सारी चीजें हम लोगों ने देखा है कि भगवान की लीला होती है भगवान इससे हमें कुछ समझाना चाहते हैं अगर भगवान अर्जुन को बोल के गए होते तो हमको आज ये पाठ नहीं मिलता था कि हमें भगवद्गीता और भागवतम का शरण लेना चाहिए अगर अर्जुन को आप देते हैं, अगर अर्जुन को बता के जाते तो क्या है, नॉर्मल है, ठीक है, कोई दिक्कत नहीं है, चलता जाता। पर जैसे हम लोग बढ़ते जाते हैं श्रीमद् भागवतम में, आपने देखा यहाँ पर कि अर्जुन श्रीमद् भागवतम और भगवत के ऊपर अपना पूरा फोकस करते हैं, उनके इंस्ट्रक्शंस जो है उसको ध्यान में लेते हैं। तो इसके लिए भगवान जो भी चीज करते हैं उसमें हमें एक पाठ सिखाते हैं कि क्यों कर रहे हैं, और अगर भगवान ने ऐसे ही चले जाते हैं उनको बोल के, तो फिर ये आगे हम लोग यहाँ पर ये आज भागवतम नहीं पढ़ते होते कि अर्जुन ने जहाँ पे देखा कि अब तो मुझे भगवान के जो इंस्ट्रक्शंस थे या जो उनका पाठ था उससे मुझे दोहराना चाहिए या उसके बारे में सोचना चाहिए, भगवान के बारे में सोचना चाहिए। यहाँ पे परपोट में आपने देखा होगा कि अर्जुन उनके पास्ट टाइम्स के बारे में सोचते हैं, उनका जो ज्ञान उन्होंने दिया था कुरुक्षेत्र के मैदान पर उसके बारे में सोचते हैं, उनके साथ जब रहे थे तब उसके बारे में सोचते हैं। तो अगर उनको बता के जाते तो वो सब नहीं होता था। Stop here. Sorry, bro. Go ahead. No, go ahead. No problem.
जिससे एक दूसरे वर्ष का कनेक्शन था फर्स्ट केंद्र में, वो जो परपट आया था ना कि हम अपने आप शरीर को ही अपने आप शरीर को स्वयं मानते हैं, उसके वजह से वी कंसीडर अवर होल बॉडी एज सेल्फ, दैट्स व्हाई द बेसिकली एंड दैट इज बिकॉज़ ऑफ इग्नोरेंस एंड देन दिस इंटेंस बेसिकली डूइंग वर्क एट द मटेरियल लेवल एंड पर्सन टू पर्सन, जिससे रिलेटेड वो परोपी बनते हम तत्कृतम ताप करते हैं
1971 and they come out with a very silly answer or an absolutely wrong answer saying that life comes from matter. They have come from a father, they have come from a mother, and they still say that life comes from matter. What justification do you have? Have you come from matter? No. Then how can you say life comes from matter? So that is the ignorance, because they start identify themselves as the body, and that's where the whole problem starts. And just to add to it, Prabhu, I was hearing or reading this yesterday, and many times, you know, our devotees feel why we should ask questions. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, asking a question is a sign of an intelligence. Sign of an intelligent person, and it is a sign of an intelligence. Because when you've understood something only, you can ask a question. If I have not understood anything, how can I ask a question or clarify myself? So, it is in this purport itself. I was hearing, well, that Srila Prabhupada, yeah, one of the devotees, they mentioned, saying that, you know, asking question is also a sign of intelligence. So a devotee actually becomes intelligent when he starts asking questions. But then again, it is said that it has to be in a submissive way one needs to ask the questions, not an authoritative way. We see the so-called scholars outside, they challenge Srila Prabhupada, which is not the right thing to do. But Srila Prabhupada very nicely answered all their questions. But on the contrary, you see all those who asked Srila Prabhupada the questions in a very submissive way are great devotees of the Lord. So that's the sign. And Krishna actually gives us intelligence. Yeah.
Recently, actually, I came across these three verses, 175, 176, and 177.
Yeah.
So these three are like coming together. So I remember that the second part of 175.
Yeah.
Paro api, manu amanitayatam, akutam tapatam. So I just remember.
Correlation with this sloka that we are reading today. Yeah. Thank you for adding that one. Thank you very much. Yeah. We'll stop here. Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Natai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.
And basically, we will get situated in our constitutional position. So let us thank Prabhupada by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Parallelly nahi kar paate na.